This is the operator. I just need to inform all participants that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the NCSG call on the 29th of October 2013. On the call today, we have Robin Gross, Maria Farrell, and Rudy Vantnik. From staff, we have myself, Natalie Perobin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. We also have Bill Drake, who has just joined the conference call. Thank you so much, and over to you, Robin.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for joining or listening to this call of the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. Let me see. Today is 29 October 2013, and let me just quickly read through the agenda. We've reordered it to accommodate Bill's request. We'll first do a quick update from the IGF 2013 in Bali, which just ended a couple of days ago and a number of us participated at. And then we will discuss our Buenos Aires plans. We've got ICANN 48 in Buenos Aires coming up in a few weeks, and Bill's requested that we move that discussion to after Bali. So not hearing any objections to that request, I have moved that discussion item up in the agenda. The next item is preparations for Thursday's 31 October GNSO Council meeting. There are a number of motions on the table that NCSG will be voting on. We need to make sure our counselors are either confirmed to participate or have undertaken some action to obtain a proxy. Then there are some discussion items also on the council agenda. And there are some working groups that are ongoing at ICANN task forces, and it would be good to get a quick overview on what's happening there, such as the Who Is working groups and also the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Hopefully Aubrey can join this call at some point and can talk to her about that. And some of the other working groups, and then we can review some of the comment periods and see if any of them are worth anyone's time to put in some comments on, and any other business. So are there any questions on the agenda or suggestions? Okay, not hearing any. I guess we can dive right in. Okay, so from the IGF 2013 Bali meeting, the 8th Internet Governance Forum, which just took place in Bali, we had a number of participants from the non-commercial community, also a quite a large number of participants from the at-large community. But from NCSG, we had myself and Marie-Laure Lemonneur and Avery Doria, and Rafiq was there, and Bill was there, and Wolfgang was there, and David Cake was there. So there was, and others, Carlos and Desiree. And so we had a lot of representation, participation, and on the ground in Bali, and in a number of workshops, including one that was co-sponsored between NCSG, NCUC, and NPOC on civil society participation in ICANN. And NCUC had several workshops that it held as well that were very popular with participants, and so it was a positive meeting from that standpoint, from our participation there. There were a number of other developments at the meeting as well, in particular the plans and discussions for the proposed Brazil meeting in probably the first week of May 2014, which comes from the Montevideo Statement, as it's being called. And what's being called ISTAR organizations, the technical organizations that manage many of the internet operations, are proposing together with the Brazilian government a meeting to...
What the fuck is going on?
Internet issues. I'm sorry, excuse me? Somebody want to break in there? Okay, no, sorry about that. I guess not. There was some plans are being made to put together a steering committee, sort of help plan this meeting. And ICANN is organizing what's being called a coalition of the willing by some to try to help shape the discussions and shape the outcomes of the meeting. It's all pretty ambiguous right now and seems very much up in the air and yet to be decided in terms of what the actual scope is of the meeting, what's on the table. You know, one of the things that's on the table for many for many countries is the renegotiation of the IANA contract. So should that be an outcome of the meeting, that is a significant development in the internet governance space. The argument is that this meeting is necessary because the world basically has lost faith in the U.S. government's handling of the internet, in large part due to recent revelations of NSA spying. And so the ITU is really making a strong push for a more governmental control and multilateral arrangement for managing the internet governance functions. And this is sort of a proactive response, if you will, to try to preempt that and try to keep some semblance of a multi-stakeholder model managing some of these key functions of the internet governance landscape. So it's a pretty, that's sort of my quick and dirty take on it all. And I know Bill was there and probably has a few thoughts as well. Bill, can you want to chime in on this, your take on the meeting and the discussions in that respect? I'm not hearing anything. Is anyone on the line?
Rudy here. I think that Bill has some audio problems, as he mentioned in the chat window
okay.
Also. He probably has the same issues as you had earlier.
Okay, so does anyone have anything they wanted to say on this topic?
Robin, thanks. Rudy speaking.
Yes.
I was not present in Bali. I had to follow
yes.
some of the discussions and workshop sessions remotely, but the quality of the remote was not really that good to allow participation remotely, especially when you have to spend your night doing that. It was less than the previous year, so I don't know if there was any perception in Bali itself that the remote was not working that well.
I heard mixed reviews. I heard in some instances it worked excellently, and at other times there were problems, from what I could tell. Okay, well, thank you very much. Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Robin. Yeah, really speaking again. About the, let's say, the talks in the corridors, was there anything special that we can't see anyhow remotely or listen to remotely? Is there anything that has been said in the corridors that is of any importance?
I certainly think that, you know, a lot of people having a lot of concerns and as well as hopes for the outcome of what's being called the I-STAR meeting. You know, there are mixed reviews in terms of private sectors somewhat not sold on the need to hold this particular meeting and is very much happy with the status quo arrangement. There are members of civil society that have quite a broad spectrum of views, and some would like to see more governmental oversight, and others would not. And so there's not really, I would say, a unified voice from civil society either with respect to how to move forward with this meeting or even if to move forward. However, it is going forward with or without people. And so if you want to be engaged in shaping the discussions on these issues, you should, I think, pay attention to the discussions surrounding the formulation of this meeting, because there is a game that is happening there that impacts a much broader community, and so we really need to get involved and try to shape those discussions. I think it's going to be really important.
Robin, it's Maria. I've got a question for you.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. What are the options or possibilities for involvement either in the ICANN Coalition of the Willing? I guess that's an unfortunate name. In other ways to get involved with shaping the agenda and making sure there's proper actual.
Yeah. Well, there was a meeting, a couple of meetings held, ICANN briefing sessions in Bali about this meeting, and a piece of paper was sent around at the first one to take names and email addresses so this coalition can be established, and anyone was welcome to join that. I haven't heard anything with respect to where that's, you know, if that's been set up yet, because I haven't received anything about it, but it was my understanding that that would be the primary place where much of this would play out. So if you want to get involved in that, I guess I would send an email to, I'm not sure which ICANN staffer, but we could figure that out to get part of that group.
Yeah, thank you. That was going to be my question. Thanks a million, Robin.
Yeah, and I've also contacted some folks at ICANN about the need to make sure that internal ICANN civil society is represented in the committees that get set up to organize this discussion, because, you know, they talk about it like this is going to be multi-equal stakeholder, which means that civil society has an equal say to governments, an equal say to the private sector in how this plays out. And, you know, we really expect to have an equal say with respect to organizing these discussions. And that includes internal ICANN civil society and CSG members who have been engaged in this for many, many years. So I'm hopeful that we'll get a chance to play a role in shaping these discussions and have the opportunity to come out of the meeting with some positive developments and opportunities to shore up the multi-stakeholder model and perhaps make some improvements to it, like getting some kinds of commitments to upholding human rights protections. Now, you know, that may be too much to hope for, but I think it's an opportunity worth working towards.
That's terrific. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I think where there's change, there's opportunity. So let's grab this one.
Great. So does anyone else have anything they wanted to Bali. Okay, well then let's go on to the next item on the agenda, which is the Buenos Aires meeting plans. So, I don't know if folks have seen, but we've got a NCSG meetings plan page that I've started to create. Let me see if I can put it up on this Adobe Connect screen here in the chat. Okay, great. So we've got a number of meetings that we have to plan ourselves. We'll have an executive committee meeting, NCSG executive committee meeting on Sunday, 1300 to 1400, a policy committee meeting also on Sunday later in the afternoon, 1500 to 1700. And then, of course, NCSG in the afternoon on Tuesday, the 19th. The constituencies will meet in the morning, and then NCSG will meet together in the afternoon, and then we go over to meet with the board at the end of the day, which is pretty much has become our typical Tuesday during ICANN weeks. And then we have a chance to meet with at large on Wednesday for an hour. So we should talk about some things that we could potentially work on with the large community. And then the GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday and the public forum on Thursday. There's also a number of workshops that ICANN has scheduled based upon how it being staff, wants to shape the agenda for the discussions in Buenos Aires. And so that agenda has been posted to the ICANN webpage now, and it's kind of interesting, actually, some of the meetings that ICANN scheduled, for example, on why rights protection mechanisms are important. You know, too bad they never schedule anything on why free speech or privacy protections are important, but, you know, we don't get a say in these, in how ICANN organizes the agenda for discussions. So anyways, they're worth taking a look at because there's a lot of interesting discussions happening, and we should talk about what are some of the main issues that we want to talk about that come to the top of NCSG's agenda for action in Buenos Aires in a few weeks. So does anyone have any suggestions on that? I think certainly this upcoming Brazil meeting and the coalition surrounding it is an important discussion item that is very timely. Oh, I see Bill has his hand raised. Great. Please, Bill, go ahead.
Hello. Can people hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Thank you. I didn't know. Okay, so hi, everybody. I had massive technological problems, so I missed most of what Robin just said. With regard to Buenos Aires, I think, did you say that the, I had asked an email, and I frankly just got off the plane. I've got so much mail, I can't find any of this stuff from you. I had asked about the NCSG policy meeting, whether we could do that on Sunday if that had been discussed with staff. Is that happening?
Yes, it is. Yep, yep.
Sunday,
as is the executive committee meeting on Sunday. And so they're both listed on the NCSG meetings plan Google Docs spreadsheet there that I posted a link to in the chat.
Specific
meeting for them. I know they're not on the main agenda. ICANN doesn't like to put them on the main agenda because then they can't move it around later if they want to, and you know, it's kind of a...
Okay.
You know, because they have weird scheduling rules, they don't want to put this on the agenda, basically.
Yes, I understand. Okay, your document looks fantastic. Thank you. Okay, so now I'm halfway up to speed. There was, fortunately, I massively crashed after flying. There was something I was suggesting in email that we talk with ALAC about as well, and I can't remember what the hell it was. Well, Buenos Aires, the Brazil meeting, certainly. I mean, I think we should, I hope that we can have some strategizing around that whole initiative. I'm for people who have not been following all of this, there's been some discussion on some of the NC listservs, and I gather some folks have rather varying views about whether ICANN should be involved in this at all or whatever. But it's happening. The Brazil ICANN organized meeting is happening. There is a whole bunch of there are a whole bunch of stakeholders being mobilized. There are civil society coalitions attempting to get organized, and it would be, I think, truly terrible if the civil society leg of this whole process of reviewing inter alia the oversight of ICANN and the role of the U.S. government and the IANA contract and everything else were to be led entirely by civil society actors who are not involved in ICANN. I mean, I think that the NCUC, NPOC, NCSG, and indeed the civil society element of ALAC, or at large, I should say, should all be trying to play a proactive role in getting involved in this, and it would be really, I think, tragic if we let all of this just go off without us. So I hope we can put that on the agenda for our own internal strategizing. The timeline is going to be very short, and we need to get started fairly soon if we're going to carve out a space with that. And we've had various conversations with Fadi and staff and others about this, and I think we need to follow up. Sometimes we express concerns and then we don't follow up, and that's so good. So that's one thing. As to the other point you were making, Robin, about how the agenda gets constructed for these meetings, I certainly agree that it could be more bottom-up. It should be said, though, that there is SOAC leaders' listserv where some of these issues have been raised, and we have weighed in there after consulting. At least, I mean, I know that in NCUC, I raised some of these points with NCUC Executive Committee. And, you know, for example, at large, the ALAC and we both expressed concerns about proposals to change the scheduling of the public comment, the public forum, and also the topic of this cross-constituency discussion on Monday. And staff were responsive to that. So I don't think it's all darkness in terms of a discussion. But anyway, I'm joining this call in a hectic way, and I'm wasting all your time because I'm not prepared. So I'll shut up and just another, try to remember what I wanted to say.
That was great. No, and I do echo your comments on the importance of us being engaged in the shaping the discussions heading into the Brazil meeting in May. I think, you know, it's important. Okay. Anyone else have anything they want to say on this? Any other suggestions for particular issues? Yeah, we should be focusing on in Buenos Aires that we should talk to with the board, that we should talk to with the at-large community. Okay, I see Bill and Rudy have their hands up. Great. Go ahead, Bill. And then Rudy.
No, Rudy first, please. No.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Rudy speaking. Well, I think it's important that we keep an eye on the way that ICANN is, in fact, changing some strategies when I see so many outside influences popping up inside the ICANN world. And I'm talking about the participation of so many consultants, external consultants. I have some doubts about the direction of ICANN, and especially with the upcoming new GTLDs that are going to be put in real world, in real life. I'm just wondering how, from the side of the user, the consumer, what position we are going to take in order to allow us, as between quotes, representatives of the user groups, how we can try to change a little bit the mandate that actually is going on, in the sense of having this strong outside influence that I don't see as a real multi-stakeholder positioning. So I'm just wondering, is this something we could get discussion in Buenos Aires, or is this a too large topic?
No, I think you're right, and I think we should absolutely in Buenos Aires. So, you know, let's put this at the top of our stakeholder group agenda, if you will. Yes, I've got Bill, and then Magali had her hand up. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I was going to just say that, generally speaking, the APRT process is one that I think we have really failed to engage effectively. I know that MPOC has a meeting and NCUC has a meeting with the APRT, so that's pretty much most everybody, except for the few individuals who've joined. I see Chloe there as individuals, but not in any constituency in NCSG. So, you know, whether it's whichever level it's done at, I really think we should try to use that as a way into raising any and all of these kind of like internal process questions. And I just feel like it's been very hard to get people interested in even reading the report and being prepared. And when the ATRT came last time, I don't know what happened in the MPOC meeting, but in the NCUC meeting, it ended up being a bilateral conversation between me and Brian Cute, which I really don't want to do again. So I would say everybody's very bandwidth challenged. I recognize that. But maybe if we could start by at least all trying to read that report and then isolate four or five key internal managerial questions, accountability questions, that we want to raise in our respective meetings would be really good. And if the role of consultants is one of them, that's great. Oh, Jesus, sorry, there's a police going by past me. Rudy, I'm not quite sure exactly what consultants you're referring to, so I don't know how to respond. Would you be willing to say a little bit more about that?
Yes, Bill, Rudy speaking. Well, in the meeting in Durban, I recognized the consultants firms working into, for instance, if I not wrong, the strategy by outside consultants. So they are, in fact, influencing the way I can move forward. I would rather see possibility for, let's say, the internal consultants coming from the different constituencies guiding ICANN's strategic panels, instead of having outside people directing the way we discuss the topics in ICANN. So I hope I have been a bit more clear. The names of the companies I don't remember really, but I've seen several from outside stepping into the work we are doing.
This sounds to me, and sorry to break it, this sounds to me like the kind of issue to be entirely appropriate to raise with the board if we have something in our meeting with them, if we have something concrete and specific to say. We certainly can't go to the board with an abstract complaint, though. So we would have to be clear about that. The other point I wanted to raise, I'm sorry, now I'm slowly things are coming back to me, the FADI panels and that whole process that's been set up by FADI, you know, he's got there's multiple meetings now going on in Buenos Aires of these different panels. And I know that people have varying views about the way this whole initiative with the five panels to speak into his ear have been launched and so on. And again, I think that's something that's entirely appropriate for us to raise with the board if we think we have concerns about that. But more generally, we should be prepared to interact in the public meetings of those panels as well.
Robin, it's Maria.
Yes, Maria. Yes, and thank you, Bill. I've got that. I've just written those suggestions down. Very helpful. Thank you. Yes, Maria, go ahead.
Thank you. Just listening to Bill, it also occurs to me it might be useful for us to note with the board how important it will be for this Brazil meeting that ICANN really feels its own civil society people and really supports us and you know, basically gives us the profile and the participation that we should have. I mean, it's in the interest of ICANN, you know, to obviously find a boost to its whole multi-stakeholder model and say that it works really well. Well, it's not going to look so good if we're not there and if we're complaining about it. Or, you know, I think it's an opportunity to really remind the board that in terms of the visibility of ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model and civil society, that they really need to engage with us from very, very early on. In you know, in the work that ICANN is doing, the sort of coalition that it's trying to build, that we need to be front, you know, and very much in the fore of that. So I think that's worth bringing up to the board.
Yes, I totally agree, Maria. Thanks for your support on that. We can certainly bring that up with them. Magali, were you in the queue on this? Magali, are you there? Okay, I don't hear anything. Okay, I guess not. Let's see, Amr, did you have your hand raised?
Yeah, hey, I do, Robin. This is Amr. I just wanted to weigh in with one comment that with all these ad hoc processes, groups, panels, et cetera, coming into play, I would like to recommend some caution in how we interact with them and how involved we become, especially saying that we would like to, being the voice of civil society in the community. I'm a bit concerned about how these ad hoc processes will start taking over how policy is developed. And I just think a certain level of balance might be advisable on how invested we become in dealing in these ad hoc processes as opposed to the regular policy decision-making process in the ICANN. I think there are others who share this concern, and I just wanted to add that. Thanks.
No, thank you. I think you raised some really valid points, you know, about ICANN's operations and the focusing energies on improving these operations.
Yeah. Remember when this all started with the trademark plus 50 straw man, we were pretty upset about that. And it seems that now, what it seems to me now is that FADI and ICANN are trying to just involve a whole bunch of other people in the process, but outside of the regular process, and sort of just going about the same strategy in a different way. So I just think we need to be very careful on how things develop in that direction.
I think you're right, and that's a really good example because, you know, ICANN likes to champion itself and market and promote itself as a place where bottom-up policy is made. But then when you actually look at the details and instances like the trademark plus 50, which was not at all a bottom-up process, quite the contrary. It was a top-down imposition that overrode the bottom-up process, and contrary to ICANN's bylaws that require it to be a bottom-up process. And so, you know, ICANN really can't have it both ways. They can't go around and say, look at us, we're this bottom-up process. You don't want to go to the ITU because then it'll just be a top-down situation, and that's horrible. We can't do that. But really, I think where I would go with this is to say we don't ignore these problems that ICANN has with meeting its own objectives and stated values. We have to use this as an opportunity to improve the multi-stakeholder model, to try to build in some kinds of accountability mechanisms that are, in fact, meaningful, and try to use this as an opportunity to make ICANN essentially behave itself and indeed practice what it preaches and allow for policy to be made by a bottom-up process of the community, and sort of, you know, resist the urge to take advantage of its position in sort of facilitating the process, use that to guide and shape policy that is in the best interest of ICANN and the corporation, and not truly what the bottom-up public interest process would have created. So, you know, I see this as an opportunity to reform this multi-stakeholder process and, you know, try to fix some of these problems, not throw it out and replace it with something different, but have constructive engagement to try to use this as an opportunity to make improvements where improvements are warranted. And as we all know, there are improvements warranted all over the place. Okay, I've gone on enough. I see Bill has his hand up. Please, go ahead.
In the spirit of multi-stakeholder dialogue and diversity, I guess I'll express a somewhat different view. I understand Amir's concern about the that one could view these panels in the context of a set of other actions as a subverting of the existing processes and so on and so forth. And obviously, that is something that we would want to guard against. But my point would be, I mean, I wasn't quite sure, Amir, when you say we should be careful about getting involved with them, right? I didn't really get it. I mean, my feeling is we're not involved at all, and they are happening. And so what I would like is for us to demand, or at least strongly encourage, that the communities input should be taken on board centrally in this process, and that any outputs from these panels should be treated as purely advisory suggestions for the community to take up through its existing mechanisms and so on and so forth. So, in other words, I would say I wouldn't, like, stand back from these and go, oh, this is a bad thing and won't get involved. I would try to shape the dialogue around how they're being deployed and what exactly they're going to be doing in a way that's congenial with our own approach. And I also say, and maybe this is going to sound like I'm defending Fadi, which I don't think is a bad thing when he does something that is potentially okay. You know, a lot of what he's been trying to do, I think, in some cases, is to hear a broader range of voices. And I know that that makes everybody very nervous because it can easily become a matter of sidestepping the bottom-up process and so forth. On the other hand, you know, the ICANN community does have its limits and dysfunctionalities, and there are other people on Earth whose views might be useful in thinking about what we're doing, and there is something to be said about bringing in external voices as long as it's done in an appropriate manner. So, for example, if you have a group about how to operate transparently and so on, chaired by somebody like Beth Novak, who I think is very good, it's entirely possible that Fadi and others will hear stuff from that panel that they might not have heard from just inside the community processes, because the way the community processes are structured, we're all locked into doing, you know, council work or ALAC work or whatever. We're all in our silos with our fixed agendas, and we don't get enough opportunity to speak to broader strategic orientation types of things, et cetera. And so these kinds of initiatives can be viewed as or they can be taken as an opportunity for us to engage on a broader range of issues and stuff and leverage outside views in that process in a way that's constructive. So I'm not ready to say at the front end, oh, this is all going to be terrible and negative and whatever. I think that these panels have to be run in the right way. There has to be appropriate consultation with the community. Their outputs have to be treated the right way, et cetera, et cetera. But I, you know, just like having when he does roundtables, and he suggested a roundtable to us, that there be a civil society roundtable involving other civil society people from outside NCSG and at large. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, to bring in some interesting voices from outside could be useful as long as it's done the right way. So there's no guarantee that it will be. But I don't want to a priori assume that any kind of broadening of the process is inherently evil. I'll shut up. And I agree with Avery in the chat box.
Yes, thank you, Bill. Amr, I see you've got your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just to say, I completely agree with what you're saying, Bill, and I did not, just to be clear, I was not recommending that we shun these processes, these panels, or any of it. I'm just saying, I was just recommending some caution in how we do support the work being done, and just keep our eyes open to make sure that doesn't replace any of the regular processes in place. But that's all I was saying, really. I didn't mean, if I gave the impression that they are inherently evil plans being made, but that's not what I meant to say at all. And I'm just advising some caution in how we deal with them.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear evil either. But I think, you know, we do need to proceed with caution because there are great stakes on the table. You know, you're talking about potentially renegotiating the IANA contract. That's big stakes, big fish. There will be blood for sure. Let's hope it's not ours. Okay. Anyone else want to get in the... I'm sorry, what was that, Bill?
I said, you really are dark today. There will be blood, okay.
Well, it's, you know, Halloween and all. That time of year. Okay. So anything else on Buenos Aires discussions coming up or the... update on our discussions coming out of Bali IGF, or do we go on to talking about the GNSO Council meeting on Thursday? Okay, don't hear anything further, so let's take a look at the GNSO Council agenda for Thursday and see what our counselors are are working on. Before we do that, let's see how many counselors do we have on the call today. Maria, I see, and in Amr, our incoming counselor, and I see Magalie's in the Adobe Connect. Okay, so we and Rudy on the policy committee, and we had Aubrey there for a minute, also on the policy committee, although I don't see her at this moment on the Adobe Connect. So perhaps she had to log out or log back in or something. So we've got a few. Okay. And do we have anyone, has anyone heard if any of our counselors will not be able to participate in Thursday's call? Do we need any proxies for anyone? We don't have Wolfgang or Wendy on this call. Who else? So anyone know if anyone needs proxies? Okay, haven't heard anything. All righty then. I guess that means all six of our counselors will be there and ready to engage. Great. Okay, so let's look at what they will be voting on our behalf, pulling up the GNSO Council agenda. Okay, the first item, the first motion is a motion to approve a charter for the translation and transliteration of contact information PDP working group. Okay, so we quickly review that. In June, the council initiated a PDP on the translation and transliteration of contact information and decided to create a PDP working group for the purposes of fulfilling the requirements of the PDP. Okay, so they drafted, there was a drafting team that developed a charter. And this charter has been submitted to the council, and so now the council is going to vote on whether or not to approve this charter for the PDP working group. Okay, let's take a look. Any counselors or anyone else been following this and want to give us some pointers on this? Okay, so resolved. Council approves the charter and appoints to be confirmed as the liaison to the working group. All right. Okay, so that's any thoughts or suggestions on this motion? It was made by Jonathan Robinson and seconded by Zahid Jamil. Oh, I see two people have their hands raised.
Robin.
Amr, yes, please go ahead. Was that Rudy? Go ahead,
yes,
Rudy.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Robin. Rudy speaking. I was one of the members of this group. I was co-chairing with Chris. It was a hard time to get people involved in the discussions. Amr was also participating in the drafting work of the charter, and it becomes a really important working group, as it is going to go in depth with the WHOIS data, translated or not. It's the big discussion, who has the authority to translate. And I think it's something that we will need more people getting involved in this working group once it started, because we were just four in total. It's too low, so we need more people getting involved in this.
Mm. Thanks so much for that, Rudy. Is there any talk as to who we might anticipate being the chair for this working group or the liaison, council liaison for this working group? Maybe somebody from our own stakeholder group who's been engaged or any suggestions at all?
Rudy speaking. Well, it was the idea that the actual co-chairs of the working group, of the drafting team, would try to stand up and lead this process. But we will see what's going to come out of it. But I would like to hear Amr also. He has his hand.
Okay, thanks very much, Rudy. Yes, Amr, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This motion was deferred from the last council meeting, and we did discuss this briefly during our last NCSG policy call. At the time, I expressed my personal concerns with this PDP, which I'm not going to get into again right now, but I'm glad Rudy is here because he was also very active on the drafting team. Regarding the deferral and why it's on the consent agenda for this next meeting, I'm not really sure how that happened or why it happened. The request for deferral was made by Yoav from the registrar stakeholder group, and it seemed to have the approval of Ching as well from the registries, and they were both involved with the drafting team and didn't seem to have any problem with the draft charter going forward. So I'm a bit, I'm just a bit confused, puzzled about why this motion was deferred to this meeting. And my understanding from the last GNSO meeting is that the registrars and the registries wanted to go back within their own stakeholder groups and perhaps get back in touch with the drafting team to see what it was that was missing from the charter. If you recall last month, our last policy call, I said I have a problem with the PDP, but I don't have a problem with the charter. I think the charter is a good charter. During the last council meeting, there were concerns expressed about the charter being too not open enough or just too strict, if I recall correctly. I don't see it that way. I think it's a good charter that leaves a lot of options open to the working group and gives them a lot of leeway to work. I do remember, recall one issue we had during the drafting team, which I think it was Julia. Julia was a staff member who was working with us on this drafting team, I think, is that the decision that what this charter is actually going to propose for the working group to do is to make two decisions on whether translation, transliteration of contact data is desirable or not, and then who's going to pay for it. So those are the two issues that should be addressed. I recall during the drafting team's work, there were also some questions on what items in contact information were going to be included within the scope of this. But at the time, one of the staff members on the drafting, working with the drafting team, said that there was going to be a separate PDP to make this decision. And I don't know if that's related to the concerns brought up by Yoav and Cheng during the last council meeting or not. If they are, then they should be aware that this is something, I guess, that is supposedly out of scope of this PDP, which doesn't make much sense, but it is, I guess. So that's just my take on what's going on. I'm a bit puzzled and confused about why they asked this motion to be deferred. My impression was that they were going to contact the drafting team again and try to work some of the troubles they have, but they haven't contacted the drafting team at all. And so I don't know what they're going to suggest at this upcoming council meeting. If I recall correctly, the councillors from our stakeholder group had all agreed that they were going to vote in favor of this charter moving forward. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Amr. That was extremely informative, and I really appreciate you reminding us also of the discussion we had on this last month. As I look at the agenda, the GNSO Council agenda, this looks like it's, to me, not on the consent agenda, which doesn't seem to have anything on it. It seems to be blank at the moment. And this looks like it's a separate item with a 10-minute discussion allocated to it. And so I think that the questions that you've raised just now would be good questions for our councillors to discuss with the council and perhaps with the motion or with the motion's drafters, if they've made any progress or gotten any feedback on any of the issues that you've raised. So thank you very much. I think we had some other hands up, Rudy and Maria, if I've got this right. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Robin. Rudy speaking. Very short. The drafting team has not been contacted in any way, so I'm not aware of an approach that should have been done with the drafting team till today.
Okay, thanks. Maria, did you have your hand up on this?
Yes, I did. Thanks. It was actually, Amar covered pretty much all of it. I was just going to refer back to the conversation we had a month ago, and it was just for anyone on the call. I think Magali wasn't on the last call, just to kind of recap our discussion. I think where we came to on it, and Amar might correct me, is that while we're not thrilled about that PDP in general, we on the whole supported the, the drafting group thing. Where am I going? The charter. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. But we did support the charter and, having worked on it. So if there is a vote, I think we were probably mostly going to vote in favour. But as you say, it doesn't appear to be on the consent agenda. So anyway, so that was just a quick recap.
Great. Thank you very much.
And also, I will raise Amar's question. Sorry, Robin, I forgot to say. I will be happy to ask Amar's question as to, what the issue for the deferral was. Has it been resolved? Can we go ahead? I wasn't entirely clear. Amar, was it the question that is beyond the scope for this charter? That was the question of who will pay for transliteration and translation of contacts. Is that correct?
This is Amar. Yeah, that is the second question to be answered by this working group. Should this charter go ahead?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks very much. Was there anyone else who wanted to say anything on this motion or council discussion item? Okay, not hearing any. I think we can move on to the next motion that the council will be voting on Thursday, which is item 5 on the agenda. Just posted it there in the Adobe Connect. The adoption of the THIC WHOIS policy development process final report and recommendations. Very briefly, the final report on THIC WHOIS has been prepared as required by the GNSO PDP and the ICANN bylaws. The final report is based on the initial report of 21 June and has been updated to reflect the review and analysis of public comments received by THIC WHOIS working group, so says ICANN staff. In addition to further deliberations, the report is submitted to the council for consideration. The conclusions and recommendations for next steps are included in this PDP and are outlined in Section 7 of the report. Okay, so as we take a look at the specific motion on this report. Again, this is this was a motion that was made by Volker Greiman and seconded by Brian Winterfeld. And the resolved is to accept the recommendations in the report. Let's see. To adopt the recommendations in the final report. Okay. And there's the link to the report. And that the GNSO Council shall convene a THIC WHOIS implementation review team to assist staff in developing the implementation details for the new policy should it be approved by the board. The team will be tasked with evaluating the proposed implementation of the policy recommendations as approved by the board and will work with staff to ensure the results and implementation fulfills the intentions of the approved policy recommendations, like what happened in the trademark plus 50 case. Okay, sorry for the sarcasm there. Okay, so anyways, how do folks want to vote on this one? Adoption of the THIC WHOIS policy development process, final report and recommendations. Any suggestions, recommendations? Yes, Amar, please, go ahead.
Hi, this is Amr. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Please, go ahead.
Sorry, I was disconnected. I'm using the Adobe chat audio right now. This working group was not an easy one. And up until the last week before the final report was submitted to council, we did not have full consensus, and we do now. And which is to say that I and three other members of NCSG gave our support to the final report, and well, this was a result of really long and hard negotiating on the fact, if you look at the privacy and data protection section of the report, you will note that the working group reached the conclusion that we lacked the capacity to address all privacy concerns, especially related to transfer of WHOIS data across legal jurisdictions, specifically from legal jurisdictions where there are high privacy protections to ones with lower protections, and the implementation of TIC WHOIS. So that meaning transfer of WHOIS data from registrars to registries across these legal jurisdictions. I would recommend personally that our counselors vote in favor of this motion, provided that all the recommendations are included, because it is my understanding that not all recommendations provided by working group need to be approved. I mean, altogether, some recommendations could be approved while others are dropped. So I think it is very important that the implementation review team concerned with this PET be empowered by the GNSO Council to carry out its task of checking whether any privacy concerns are identified during the implementation of the policy. Avri's also on the call. I would really love to get her input on this as well, because she was also very engaged with the working group in the last couple of months when we were negotiating these issues.
Thank you very much, Amr. Avri, are you on the call? Did you have any?
Yeah, I am. I was just... I was just... making my microphone work. I tend to agree with Amr. The certainly, when you look at what the job of the GNSO Council is to look at and see if processes were adequately followed, whether they did take everything into account that they should, and such as that, I think that this working group passes the bar. I mean, this report would have probably been out a month or two ago if it hadn't been for trying to find a resolution to how do we deal with the privacy issues. And we certainly gave it a good scrubbing. I think that the process they've got now for following it, for making sure that the primary issue, you know, this was a very difficult PDP, because the real only issue we could deal with was not so much the privacy of WHOIS. That's a larger question that I think we're going to be having PDPs on, but rather the change in privacy circumstance between a local jurisdiction where you did your registration, the registrar, and the American jurisdiction that it moves to, because all we're really talking about is VeriSign on this one. We're talking about the incumbents. And since org is already fat or thick, I really like the old name for it. It used to be called fat WHOIS as opposed to thick WHOIS. But anyway, since all of the new GTLDs are already forced to the thick model, that wasn't an issue, and the only issue was, do we change over common net. And the one issue that has not been adequately explored still yet, as Amr said, was what loss of rights might there, loss of privacy rights might there be in change of jurisdiction. But unfortunately, for all our theoretical work on it, we really still had no real physical evidence, and they have put in the notion of going further studying this. So I think at this point, having been through 2 months, having gotten the privacy considerations there, having at least two of our members, myself not among them, who have said that they will be on the implementation team, which will continue to monitor that, and to make sure that as the new PDP start, especially because we've asked for an in-detailed legal search, I think that, you know, the process went right. We agreed with it in the end. We've, you know, so I would say we should vote for it, you know, certainly not vote against it. I think anyone that finds, any member that finds Thiku is a complete abomination, can't be accepted in anything, should just do an abstention saying, you know, this PDP looks like it was correctly, but Thiku is an abomination that I could never vote for. You know, I don't have a vote, but if I was there, I would probably end up voting for it, even though I think the coup is probably an abomination. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Well, do you think it would be possible to propose some kind of amendment that could mitigate some of the concerns that you've raised?
No, I think it's in there. I think the mitigations, that's what we got by arguing for another 2 months, is the mitigations are in there. And so I don't know how much further one could ask for, what could ask for.
Okay. Thanks very much.
I mean, other than to say there will never be sick who is, but we can't.
Yes, Amr, did you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. I completely agree with what Avery said, and this was a really long and hard process. We've been at this since November of last year, and we went through many stages on whether privacy was in or out of scope of this working group to begin with. If it was, what was in and out of scope, whether it was just the question of VeriSign, for example, .com and .net. But the thing is, I also believe that this is not only concerning .com and .net. If you look at the language in the charter, this working group is recommending implementation of a thick whois policy for all existing and future GTLD registries, which means all current thin GTLD registries, namely for .com and .net, and when it refers to future GTLD registries, that is what I believe this to be is GTLD registries that are beyond the current round, which are all going to be thick as per the applicant guidebook. So when a new applicant guidebook is prepared for new rounds of applications for new GTLDs, they will be referring to this PDP, and we need to keep that in mind. So dealing with the privacy issues at this point during implementation, because we could not do this during the course of the work being done by the working group, this is something that we really need to pay attention to. And if Council doesn't empower the implementation review team to do its work on this front, then I would vote against it. So I would vote for this PDP provided that it is all the recommendations are included, including the one concerning addressing privacy issues by the implementation review team. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. I really appreciate that. So are we comfortable that we've got that, or do we think we need to do something further on this motion to address that concern?
This is Armour. I think like Arby said, it's all in there. It's all in the report. There is nothing we need to add at this point. Just make sure that all the recommendations are approved together.
Great. It's a tapestry. All right. Thank you. Anyone else have anything on this one? Or shall we go on to the next motion on Council's agenda? Okay. Not hearing anything further. Let's look at the next motion, which is item 6, a motion to approve a charter for the Standing Committee on GNSO Improvements Implementation, SCI. Okay. So the Council approved the original charter for the Standing Committee on GNSO Improvements Implementations, or SCI, in 2011. Recently, the SCI determined that the charter no longer reflected its current role as a standing committee and furthermore did not contain procedures for selecting its chair and vice chair. The SCI requested guidance from the GNSO Council as to how to proceed with revisions to the charter, and at its meeting in September, the Council endorsed the SCI as a standing committee and further requested that the SCI proceed to revise the charter as it may deem necessary, with the exception of the section on decision-making. Okay, so the SCI has since revised the charter to reflect its role as a standing committee and to include procedures to select the chair and the vice chair. So there's a motion on the table to approve this revised charter for the Standing Committee on Implementation, Improvements Implementation. And this motion was made by Wolf Ulrich Gnabin, and it looks like it, at least from what I can tell, doesn't have a second yet. So I'm not, you know, it may not actually go to a vote, or more likely there will be a second that will appear before it is called to time to vote. So what is resolved in this motion is to approve the revised charter and appoint so-and-so to the GNSO Council liaison to the Standing Committee on GNSO Improvements Implementation. So I guess we have two questions here. How do folks think about approving this charter, and do we have any idea as to who will be suggested as the GNSO Council liaison to this Standing Committee? I believe some representatives from the non-commercial community in this group are Avery and Stefania Milan. I don't believe Stefania is on this call today, unfortunately, but Avery is. So does anyone want to weigh in on this particular motion? And Amr says he's on this, representing NCUC. Great. Okay, and Aubrey's got her hand up. Fabulous. Aubrey, go ahead, please.
Fabulous, huh? Yeah, so I'm fine with the change in charter as long as there is no change in the decision process. Most of this was just, you know, technicalities and cleanup, and the fact that there was no longer a PPSC and OSC, you know, which were the committees that actually did implementation of the new GNSO structure, the so-called improvements, which in retrospect we know many of them really weren't improvements, but that's beside the point. So at this point, as long as the issue, which wasn't changed in that, but which at least and probably only one person on the SCI still insists on it changing, the change from requiring full consensus for any decision as opposed to an ICANN type consensus, which means, you know, supermajority. As long as that change is not made, then I see no reason not to approve this. This really is just a cleanup. If somehow or other our sister stakeholder group in the House brings up again the issue of wanting to get rid of the full consensus requirement, then I would ask our council members to stomp that idea dead. But as this SCI charter stands now, without a change from full consensus, I think it's fine. And by the way, not been attending to my knowledge, so we should probably check with her and see that she still is in the secondary role on this, especially since I've been on this committee since the beginning and was not absolutely positive to continue on it next year. Was hoping that there would be a backup because NCUC, MPOC, and NCSG all have seats on it. So I was hoping that there would be a well trained replacement for me next year for the NCSG slot in that, and at the moment I'm not sure. I think NPOC has been engaged occasionally. I'm not positive. I see Amr's note. But Amr has certainly been there consistently. I've been there consistently, but I'm not sure who else. And this committee is the sort of pain in the butt, pain in the neck committee. It's purely process. Nothing but process. Process from morning till night. And but it's critical because somebody changing the process deliberately at the wrong point can be used to aid a policy question. And that's my reason for wanting to insist on the full consensus rule for forever, even though that means getting a decision from the SCI can be laborious, but changing processes should be hard. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. I believe Amr has also been a representative in this group for NCUC, so maybe Amr wanted to add something to those comments.
Hi, this is Amr. I have nothing to add, really. I think Avri said it all. The charter itself is pretty straightforward, and I don't think there has been much debate on what it should be. And it was a cleanup job, just like Avi said it was. The only issue is the decision-making mechanism of the committee. And I also strongly agree with Avri that this decision-making mechanism should remain a consensus basis. The committee chair has suggested is that that this be replaced with a regular decision-making mechanism like working groups do, in terms of either full consensus or consensus and all the other forms of consensus. But I agree with Avri. I think this charter would be fine to vote on this if the decision-making remains on a full consensus basis. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. So it sounds like we are in violent agreement on moving forward with this particular charter and such. Any other thoughts anyone wanted to add on this motion, this agenda item for the council Thursday? Okay, not hearing any. Let's go on to the next And I think the final motion on the council agenda, which is item number 7, and let me just post this quickly over to the Adobe Connect chat. Okay, so this is a charter for the Privacy and Proxy Service Accreditation PDP Working Group. So ICANN staff prepared a paper to summarize the outcomes of the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or the RAA negotiations, in order to set the scene for subsequent associated policy development work to be managed by the council. This is an ICANN board-initiated PDP. And the staff paper contained a draft charter for the PDP working group, and the council has discussed it. Refinements to the charter have been proposed, as has a title for the PDP working group. Here the council needs to decide to move ahead with the revised draft charter prepared by staff or to institute a drafting team to revise and or develop the PDP working group charter. Okay, so this is going to be motion number 4, an approval of a charter for a policy development process working group for the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues PDP. Boy, that's a mouthful. Okay, so that motion was made by Brian Winterfelt. It looks like it has yet to be seconded, although, again, that may very well be forthcoming. Okay, and let's see what's been resolved in this motion. so this would be a motion to approve the charter and appoint somebody as the council liaison and call for PDP volunteers for the PDP and then select a chair for that PDP. Okay, so do we have any thoughts, any initial comments that anyone would like to make about this particular one? I'm guessing we do, because I know this was an issue very close to our hearts and over the last year. So does anyone have their hand up on this? Are we going to approve this motion based upon a staff-prepared paper to deal with our privacy issues? Any thoughts, perhaps? Anyone? Bueller?
I have a question.
Yes, Aubrey, please.
I mean, my question is, when you say a staff paper, this is a standard issues report, right? And this is an issues report where there was a draft issues report where we had a chance to comment. So I don't know that it's a staff paper is that remarkable. As far as I can tell, it's just normal PDP process. I think that this is an incredibly dangerous PDP, but I think it's an inevitable PDP in that, you know, the kittens, one of the things that we found going back to the WHO is that the conditions for privacy are indeed, you know, the privacy protections and the proxy protections are indeed variable all over the place, and certainly registrants, you know, can't be certain that they've gotten a regular, but of course the people that are pushing this are the ones that don't have a way to get the privacy or proxy service to unopen and reveal what's behind the I mean, I would prefer not to see this PDP happen. I would prefer to see privacy and proxy remain free and uncontrolled. I don't think that we will achieve that. So while we may want to vote against this PDP, I admit I have not read the issue paper. So I don't know. I suppose we'd still have to go to the chartering process or That's why I'm asking questions, really. Is the charter already set up? Are we voting to start the PDP and then figure out a charter? So I'd have those. I don't know if anybody there who's in the council and been tracking it carefully has the answer for that.
Okay, great. Thanks. Well, it does sound like, at the very least, perhaps we would need a deferral on this motion, should it be seconded, such that we could perhaps better study the specifics of the report and the recommendations in the charter and, give us a little bit more time in terms of getting feedback from the membership, such that we could make sure that the report or the recommendations and the motion take into consideration our concerns. So, I mean, just as a bare minimum, I would think we would need to do that. But that would just be the first thought off the top of my head, and I haven't been following this as closely as I know many of you had. So if there are other suggestions or different ideas, please come forward.
Yeah, this is Avery again. It seems like we don't have anybody here who's really followed this. And one of the things that I'd say for sure is that we need a couple people, and it can't just be one. We found in the thick who is that having three or four of us that acted as a tag team, even though we didn't always agree on everything, is essential on one of these privacy issues, that we better be sure that we've got a couple people who are really willing to dedicate their time to this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that that we really need to make sure that when these working groups that are focused on the issues that we care so much about, that we're really able to get participation and depth of participation in them, because the commercial stakeholders and the contracted parties for whom this is all their full-time day jobs are really able to drive the agenda in these working groups, and as a result, the policy that comes out doesn't really take adequate consideration of our concerns. And since these are our main policy issues, privacy and whatnot, it really is important that we get lots of participation and quality and depth of participation in these working groups. So I just wanted to agree with that. Amar, did you have your hand up for this? And then I just kind of started rambling on there.
This is Amar. It's all right. You can ramble as much as you like, Robin. You're still chair of the work for the sake of the group. I just wanted to say that I'm not sure how relevant this is to this PDP, but privacy proxy abuse study didn't really reveal that accrediting or having stricter rules for this for privacy proxy services really would be helpful in any way, because they found that even if folks who are abusing the service for one reason or another, if they weren't using the service, they would find some other way to hide their contact information. So I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I also think the idea for the fro would be a good one. Let's take a closer look at this. And I completely agree with Aubrey that having a few folks on working group with privacy is much better than having just one or two people. In terms of thick who is, I think we could have had a much better final report if we had several people on more than one sub-team, not just the privacy, but it's fine now. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really helpful. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. Let's see. I think I've got Maria has her hand up. Please, Maria, go ahead.
Hi, Robin. Thanks. Thank you. It's Maria. Just to say, I take very much to heart the comments about, you know, us needing deeper representation on the working groups. I've not done any working groups since I joined council, so I'm going to take a long, hard look at this one and see if it's, if it's something that I can manage to get involved with. So just wanted to add that to the mix.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, it would be really helpful to take a look at, where these working groups are. Some of them are just now sort of getting formulated. We've got some of these motions on this week's agenda, council agenda, are to start PDPs. And so, just really trying to get an overview of, who do we have? I mean, we can't always be the ones to participate in these working groups, but we can find others who can and, really just try to make sure that we've got a couple people covered in each one of them. And, that doesn't mean it has to be the same people over and over again or that it has to even be counselors, as long as the counselors are just sort of making sure that there is participation from the stakeholder group and that it is covered. It doesn't always have to be the counselors, but just trying to manage that whole process of, as these PDPs get started and begin to go forward, keeping track of who we've got in the different groups would be, just an enormous a benefit. Okay, did anyone else want to weigh in on that? This one? Okay, I don't hear anything. Next on the council agenda, that's the end of the motion, so there's just some issues for the council that are discussion items. And then the next one is item number 8, input and discussion, prospective improvements in the policy development process. I will put this up on the Adobe Connect chat as well, so folks can see, read along. This is staff-drafted language. The council is committed to ongoing enhancements to the methods of working of the council and the work initiated and managed by the council. The PDP process is a cornerstone of policymaking within the GNSO and, as such, the work of the council. PDP outcomes and associated processes are the subject of focus and attention both within the council and the broader ICANN community. The council has previously discussed a paper prepared by ICANN staff on potential improvements to the PDP process. The discussion is now encapsulated in a table form, and further work needs to be done on reviewing the table and agreeing concrete next steps. Okay, so it looks like there's a table. Marika Connings has prepared a table of prospective PDP improvements. And there'll be some discussion on that. Did I post that? Okay, yes, that is posted. Yeah, there. Okay, and I see Maria Farrell has her hand up. Yes, please, Maria, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. It's Maria. The first issue in that table that Marika has sent around is the issue of question of whether staff should be involved with drafting charters. So when they do an issues report, the proposal is that the staff would also draft the charter for a working group. And a couple of people objected to that, including me, on a council call. I think it was an August council call. And I guess, my objection was, I think it's sort of staff stepping into kind of an executive role where it's just not always appropriate, put it that way. And other councillors raised also the issue of, what happens when staff decides that their determination is in the issues report is that there should not be a working group? Do they then draft an issues report as well? So I think actually what Marika has gone away and come back with is a pretty decent kind of compromise, where she basically says, you know, following our feedback, she basically says, well, we could have it where the default effectively is that the staff would draft a charter, but it would have to be agreed by the council and, or sorry, the default would be that council would specifically request the inclusion of the charter. So, you know, so the default would be still onto the community to do the drafting of the charter. And also that it's very easy to have it, you know, to raise objections to. So I actually was quite happy with that as a compromise. I think it sort of gets, is a good kind of squaring off of, you know, the issue of staff overreach on the one hand, but community kind of exhaustion and getting, you know, community people to do drafting when we want them to do a lot of policy development work. So I thought that was actually quite a fair enough compromise, but I'd be interested to hear what other people had to say about it. That was the main issue that I looked at in this report.
Great. Thanks very much for that, Maria. And it sounds like perhaps Marika will go over some of these recommendations in detail during the council's meeting, and, you know, we can get a chance to learn more of the specifics in terms of what's behind them, what they're thinking. Anyone else want to weigh in on this one? Item 8, improvements in the PDP process. Ah, I see Amr's got his hand up. Yes, please, Amr, go ahead.
Hi, this is Amr. Yeah, I think Maria's concerns are very justifiable. I would also like to point out that the staff paper is also being scrutinized by the Policy and Implementation Working Group as part of the many different things that the working group is looking at. I don't know if it might be a good idea to sort of suggest that council not necessarily take any action on this and wait to see how this fits in with the broader look at policy and implementation that is being done right now, and sort of just wait and see before it fits in with everything else.
Great. Yes, and it looks like there isn't any particular proposed next steps in the agenda at this point. So perhaps, you know, that's not to say there wouldn't be some coming out of tomorrow's meeting, but it sounds like you would caution against that, taking quick next steps on this one. Was there anyone else?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Amr again. It's just this paper along with the bylaws, ICANN bylaws, the working group.
I can't hear you. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Hey, Robin, I can hear you. I think Amr has just dropped out.
We've lost Amr. Okay, I see he's in the chat there typing. I think he was disconnected. Okay. Was there anyone else who wanted to comment on this while we wait for him to get reconnected? Or...
Yeah, it's Maria. I have actually a question for Amr, which is, it sounds reasonable that we would ask this to be... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Amr.
Go ahead, Maria. I just want to let you know I'm back on the AC room.
All right. Thank you. So my question was for Amr, and it was, I'd be happy to propose that we, you know, that the council not take action and fall in with other work that's being done, so that we don't sort of get ahead of it. But what kind of timeline is there on this policy implementation group? Because I know they'll ask that if I propose a sort of a deferral.
This is Amr. The policy implementation work group is just starting, and I don't see it completing its work because it's got a lot to go through. I don't see the working group finishing its work before maybe end of 2014, and so maybe another year at best. But still, I guess you could also raise the question on, is there a specific reason why this staff paper should be set aside and we need to take a, why council should consider what it's suggesting in the short run? Is there anything important that needs to be addressed quickly right now as opposed to waiting for the findings of the policy and implementation working group as opposed to everything else that the working group's looking at? Thanks.
Yeah, it's Maria. Just in response to that, I think that sounds reasonable. I'll bring up that question. And one of the other things that this paper goes into is asking an open-ended question of what can be done to increase the participation in working groups, and also to look at how do you make sure there is participation from each stakeholder group in working groups? Should that be obligatory? So I think those are certainly at least the question of how to improve participation, we could say, is something that should be worked on straight away. But maybe questions about how to change the process in terms of what should be in an issues report, that is something that should quite likely be kicked back to the community to develop. So I'd be happy to propose that.
Great. Thank you very much, Maria. So we'll look for that discussion in the proposal in the council meeting Thursday. Anyone else want to weigh in on this one? Prospective improvements to the policy development process? Okay, not hearing any. I would suggest we'll move on to the next council agenda item, which is number 9, a discussion item. Policy issues surrounding string confusion. The council previously discussed issues associated with string confusion decisions that have been taken relating to plural and singular versions of the same term and apparently contradictory decisions on identical strings. The council agreed to write to the ICANN board and new GTLD committee program and to consider appropriate additional action. Further, the council subsequently agreed that additional action will be contingent on receiving advice from ICANN legal counsel as to whether or not any additional GNSO work on the topic will have the potential to be used in a timely and effective manner within the new GTLD program. Here, the council needs to hear if any such advice from ICANN legal, requested via ICANN policy staff, has been forthcoming, and if so, what further action to be taken. Wow. Okay, so this is interesting. So this is one of these situations where after the PDP process came out with a guidebook on rules for new GTLD string confusion issues, it looks like some have said there's an issue with respect to plural and singular versions of the same words, and some objections have been filed and contradictory decisions taken. So it will be interesting what ICANN Legal has to say on the matter. I think it would be worth asking them how this particular issue plays in with the recommendation from the council in 2007 that the all the criteria must be known in advance to the applicants as they're applying for a TLD. This is another one of these cases where they seem to be changing all the rules subsequent to the policy being developed and money being taken, and, you know, policy just gets changed based upon last-minute lobbying from powerful interests, and this is another good example of that, in my view. But I'd be curious to hear what others have to say.
anyone want to weigh in on this one? Looks like, okay, Aubrey's got her hand up. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know when to keep my mouth shut. Certainly, you're right. The first principle that the GNSO came out with of a predictable process has been so badly abused that one cannot pretend in any way that staff gave us a predictable program. However, on this issue, if you look at the recommendations, we were fuzzy about it. And this is certainly one of the places, and, you know, I kind of have to hold myself responsible given my role at the time. But we talked about, you know, well, actually, we were responsible, but then staff compounded it. We did a very poor job of defining what string similarity meant and the string contention and the string overlaps and all of that one. So I assume we're talking about the, and not the issue of dot home and such. If we're talking about the one with dot home, that's another crisis that ESSAC warned us years ago and staff ignored it. So that's a failure. If we're talking about inconsistent results, we gave poor guidelines. We didn't define beyond ability what the issues were. But we also, once we saw the guidebook, we said, hey, you know, the fact that these things don't have a second step, that it was the only thing where if you ran into a problem of contention or something else, you couldn't, A, appeal it, and B, again, a thing where we made a mistake. We had an assumption, and it was in many of our discussions, that if there was a problem with a string, if there was string contention, well, then those that had the problem down and possibly come to an agreement on changing their strings so that they could both go ahead without problem, if they could come to an agreement. And the example that was always used was two people applying for dot bear, but one wanted brown bear and one really wanted grizzly. So that on realizing that, they could change. And that was an example that we used frequently. But staff, in its wisdom, decided that it was too difficult to change a string because that would mean having to go back through the initial review process. And so they made changing strings against the AGB. Now, it's been that way since the beginning. Again, that was another place, and this is sort of a warning to all of us as we come up on deciding on the rules for a second round. We had assumed that one could change their string, but we did not put in a recommendation that one could change their string. And basically, you know, sample all the dot homes and the dot corps that are running into the other problem. They should just be able to change their string if that really is an ESSAC issue. Because of the way the rules were made up, they can't. So I think there's so many problems in all of this that it really needs more study.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. So it sounds like we have more work to be done on this. There are many open questions. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this string similarity discussion on Council's agenda? Okay. Not seeing or hearing any, I guess we can move on to the next item on the Council agenda, item number 10, discussion on privileging IGO and INGO identifiers in all GTLD PDP. Okay. So the working group chair, Thomas Rickert, will provide an update on the status of working group deliberations and the public comment solicitation process for the draft final report. This PDP working group was formed to develop a set of policy recommendations to address the issue of whether, and if so, what types of protection should be provided for the identifiers of ICOs and INGOs, including the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee at the top and second levels in all GTLDs. Okay, so this was the working group that, you know, basically gave the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee anything they want, all sorts of privileges that don't exist in law, but, you know, hey, they had successfully lobbied the GAC and the board, and the community really didn't have the strength or care enough to fight back. So we filed a minority report, and NCSU filed a minority statement to this final report. There have been a number of public comments that were submitted that in the comment forum that suggested against the recommendations, against giving these kinds of privileges to these organizations in fighting the free speech rights of other organizations, the economic rights of other organizations. And, you know, from what I can tell in the mailing list discussions and the about the public comments, the working groups just going to ignore each and every single comment that's critical of the working group's recommendations and just simply issue sort of this blanket, we discussed this issue and we feel like we don't have to take these concerns into consideration. So, you know, frankly, as I participated in this working group and seen the response to the public comments, a really good example of how broken the public comment process is, because lots and lots of people are filing comments saying we don't agree with your recommendations, and the working group just says, too bad. We don't have to take your comments into consideration. We're sticking with what we said originally. So, you know, it kind of highlights and underscores the meaninglessness of actually filing public comments that don't agree with what has been proposed in the recommendations. But anyways, I digress. back to the issue, this discussion and update from Thomas Rickert on the privileging of these governmental organizations, intergovernmental organizations in the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee and the DNS. Does anyone have anything they want to add on this? Anything they'd like to our counselors to contribute in the council discussion this week on the subject?
This is Avery.
Yes, please, Avery, go ahead.
I just want to comment on one thing. I think we've just started reviewing the comments. So while I agree with most of what you said, and you'll probably be right in the long run, I bring the comments because we're just starting to look at them. So now I have no doubt that a month from now or 2 months from now, we'll be able to say that they had comments. And I think that plus a lot of the interference in the process may be a good reason to, on a process basis, say, you know, sorry, these recommendations aren't recommendations we can support. You know, at this point, we haven't ignored the comments yet. So those of us that are in the group, which does include you, at this point, and I missed the last meeting to discuss the comments because of IGF, we should be insisting that those comments be taken more to heart, and that the fight is at that level still. I don't think it's quite at the point where it's gotten to where you predict it will get. So I think there's still, you know, for those of us that are in the group, I'm in it, you're in it, Wolfgang's in it, I'm not sure who else from us is in it. You know, there's one last chance to fight for paying attention to the comments.
Such optimism. okay. Anyone else want to weigh in on this one? Great. Thank you very much. And I believe that is the last substantive item on the council agenda. There's also the issue of planning for the Buenos Aires meeting, and we've already talked a bit about that, our planning for Buenos Aires. And it looks like, actually, we are over time now. Well, we did not get a chance to go over in detail much else about the various working groups and task forces. Although, Aubrey, maybe since you're on the call with us, you can give us a quick update on what's happening with the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, because I guess we've just had a big report issued, and it's going to be a big issue going into Buenos Aires, and as Bill has suggested, it should be one of the issues that's on the forefront of NCSG's agenda. So maybe if we could just talk, if you could just give us a little bit about an update on the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, that would be fabulous.
Okay, so we have a report. The draft is out. It is not bad. I think there's a lot of stuff in it that, if it were implemented and implemented properly, would be good in terms of improving the accountability and transparency. Some stuff was toned down, but all in all, I really just recommend that people read it and you know, comment on it. The first part that you really have to read is it looks long, but it's in the 60 page range. The rest of it is, because among the things we had to do was look at the who is review team, but there the degree to which the recommendations were being implemented, not the recommendations themselves. So of our review of the stability and security and of who is, we're only process reviewing it. We're not content reviewing it. In terms of accountability and transparency, there's certainly strong recommendations in there about reporting on transparency, about an assumption of transparency. I don't think we necessarily bring that out enough, but that's something we're certainly going to get challenged by legal staff on, because what we're requesting is a presumption of transparency, where if you then want to shut it, either to take it to Chatham House level where subjects can be discussed, or, you know, confidentiality, that it can be known that subject is being talked about but not what, or a fuller level of opaqueness that you can't even talk about what subject is being discussed, then you have to do that deliberately and with an explanation of why you're doing it. And, for example, some of the stuff that comes up in ethics, you may not want to discuss at all, even that you're discussing it. So we did see that there were perhaps causes, but these should be rare, and they should be the exception as opposed to what we have now, which was an assumption of opacity, and then some things get opened. So that's probably one of the biggest shifts we're trying to make. I don't know that it will go all the way through, that we've been explicit enough. It's a thread that runs through it, but there's not a specific hard-hitting recommendation that says, that's what I said. So that would be my feeling of one weakness in it, that there are probably others. But really, people should read and discuss it. And this now, I mean, because we have to have our report in by the 31st. This is a snapshot exercise, which is different from other things that we do in ICANN. We don't go on with this until we're done. We've got a year to take a snapshot, put the report out there and the recommendations, and then people come by in 3 years and take it up again. So this is the time. If you've avoided this up until now, now's the time. Read the report, make recommendations, write up recommendations. We're lazy people, so anybody that gives us text is always in a good shape of getting text in. simply because it's easier to take text than to come up with text. And that's what I'd ask. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. that's very instructive guidance for this. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this one? The ATRQ report, had a chance to read it yet? I think that's good advice. We should all read it. Come up with a game plan going into the Buenos Aires meeting with respect to it. So both constituencies will be meeting with the ATRT team in Buenos Aires, so it will be another opportunity to really press home what our accountability and transparency concerns are, and we do have a few paying attention. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this one? Okay, well, not seeing anything more, I think we should call this meeting to a close. We're a few minutes after, and we've gone through everything except for the comment periods, which people can look up on the website there. And is there anything else anyone wanted to add before we call this meeting to a close? Okay, not hearing any. Thank you all very much. And thank you, counselors. Thank you, members. And we will look forward to Thursday's council call and seeing many of you in Buenos Aires in just a couple of weeks. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, and apologies for being late again.